The following program, the Rewind Sports 60, is sponsored by Jerry Riles and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. WCPT. WCPT.
This the coldest sports show. You will get in the hour from 6 p.m. to 7. Chilling with Lauren Cox and the man Marvelous. Shout out to Mr. Rouse and the Italian style. What sports is the only politic?
WCPT. WCPT. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Rouse. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Rouse.
Baez likes it. Rushes that to center. Way back, Fowler, see ya! Into the batter's eye in center field, and Baez on a pitch upstairs smokes it, his third of the year. And it is 1-0.
Rios swinging and bounce to Moran. He gets one. Brubaker over to cover, but the throw from Newman is well past the pitcher, and a run will score. And now, with Contreras still not off the field, there was some confusion at second base. See, Contreras is just... Here it is.
Okay, he's outside. Can he reach?
Oh, man. There's no way that's legal these days.
Contreras started out wide, and then as he was sliding, he was coming towards the bag at second. He should have been out of that inning.
Out. Double play, and the Pirates are out of the inning. Derek Shelton challenges the Otley rule.
That is awesome. What a great challenge.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Loserville. Happy Sunday to all of you out there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. We're streaming live on Facebook, broadcasting from the world's famous illustrious studios of WCPT, 820 AM in the beautiful, beautiful city of Chicago, in the outstanding neighborhood of Jefferson Park. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. Let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. You love him. He's not over at Wintrust Arena bringing in that new coach at DePaul. I don't know what the heck they're doing, but is it Dana Stubblefield?
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you love him. He wasn't over at the friendly confines. He wasn't at guaranteed rate field. No, of course. He wasn't over there. He wasn't even at Soldier Field taking in a soccer game for the Chicago Fire. No, he certainly was not, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the studios of WCPT. We love him. He's known as the Marvelous One. He's Dan Marver. What's up, Marver? How are you?
How you doing, Jerry? You know, it's Tony. The other guy's an NFL player. Anyway, Tony Stubblefield. But it's great to be here. And, we can talk about our baseball teams today and see what's going on. We've gone... Yeah, a few weeks into the season. And so we have some opinions that's starting to be formed. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. But it's going to be great. It looks like we're going to have a full season this year, not just 60 games.
Well, hopefully we get a chance to get all the games in. And hopefully Chicago fans, whether on the north side or the south side, aren't looking for a roof or a building to jump off of. Because, I mean, it's still early in this campaign, 2021. Yeah. And Cubs fans, Sox fans, they already appear to be beside themselves. Yeah. The Cubs fans, they have a legitimate reason to be beside themselves. We'll get an opportunity to talk about Cub baseball in the first half hour, the fastest hour in sports conversation. Yours truly, Jerry Riles, along with the marvelous one, Dan Marver. We're going commercial free, ladies and gentlemen. Our number here is WCPT 820 AM, the Rewind Sports 60, 773-763-9278, 773-763 WCPT. Your Cub conversation. We'll also get an opportunity to talk some White Sox baseball at the bottom of the hour. My good buddy, my good friend, I love this guy, Paul Shavari, Baseball Weekly Journal podcast host, will be joining us, making his debut on the Rewind Sports 60. But Cub fans, Sox fans, ladies and gentlemen, today is Loserville for Chicago baseball fans. Today is Loserville. There's no reason, in my opinion. And Marvelous?
Yeah, you're right.
We can certainly dive into it, but there's no reason, in my opinion, that especially the Cubs should be looking the way that they are looking. I know it's early in the season. I know the pandemic. I know their first base coach, Driver, had to stay home because he had contact tracing for COVID. I get it. But hang on. You're playing the Pittsburgh. You're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's the thing. The
Pirates, are you kidding me?
Pirates are the worst team in the league.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Pirates had won one game, I think, going into that series.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's no reason. And you talk about the Cubs. You talk about the team. I mean, I was going to say congratulations to Javi Baez for hitting out the dinger earlier today. But you know what? He's the third homer of the season for Javi Baez, and he leads the ball club in dingers, all right? Yeah. Strikeouts, it's another question regarding Javi Baez. Now, I don't know if it's the big money that Tatis Jr. received. I don't know if it's the big money that Lindor has received. I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but it appears to me that Javi Baez, your outstanding superstar shortstop for your Chicago Cubs, is pressing. He's pressing, and it's showing. He had three strikeouts today, didn't he? He had three strikeouts today, along with the dinger. Javi Baez is pressing. And the only thing I have to say to Javi Baez, hey, dude, brother, the only thing you have to do, man, is just play your game. Just play your game.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, those that are just joining us after you watch Matsuyama win the Masters.
The Masters? Congratulations to him, but we need to change the Masters.
Yeah.
We need to change the name.
The name?
Yeah, you got to change the name. I mean, with the climate that we're living in now.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't move the tournament after they moved the All-Star game.
Yeah, you know what? And there was speculation that's been leading into the Masters that started on Thursday that, you know, that they should pull the Masters. Wait a minute. They're not going to pull the Masters. I mean, and especially days before it's supposed to start, they're not going to pull the Masters. Yeah. But the Masters, the chairman came out and said on Wednesday that they're going to take some action. They're going to, you know, make some changes.
Change the name?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? Honestly, they seriously, if they are politically correct and they're sensitive to the, you know, the feelings of other ethnic groups in this country, I think you would seriously highly consider making a name change.
Right. You know, but the thing, you got to be careful when you make these decisions. I mean, they've really hurt the businesses in Atlanta by moving the All-Star game to Denver, for example. I mean, I'll think of all the income that's being pulled from potential businesses, either minority businesses as well, due to the decision. So that's another thing we can maybe get into.
Wait a minute. Hang on here.
Lose all kinds of money in Atlanta.
Yeah, I understand that. But the voting laws that you changed.
I know, but I mean, still.
You can't have a bunch of white guys lock a room and say, we're gonna make this into a law that's going to hurt and oppress the black and brown community, minorities in this state. You can't have that.
I know, but yet you're hurting them in another way. That's my point.
No, but the point
is, there's got to be some middle ground.
Well, the middle ground is to be equal. That's the middle ground.
Right.
But when you don't want equality and you force, you take a bunch of white guys, and we're going to lock the door and we're going to sign this thing. We're not going to have any input from anyone else.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, you're standing in line. You can't have anything to drink or any water to drink.
Well,
you can't, because what's happening happening? Listen. No, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say on this one.
I think you asked for it. Old Man River. They must do something.
Oh, geez. Yeah. They certainly have to do something, Marvelous. Here's the point. You cannot, because they don't want the minority voice to be heard. They don't want equality down there. And that's the whole problem. So when you talk about the economics as far as affecting the state, this is how you get the attention of the decision makers and the lawmakers, by hitting them in the pocketbook.
You're right. And as you were saying, Baez hit that 410-foot home run. I think that's what you were asking me. I don't know what happened to Baez 410-foot home run.
We talked about the Masters. Right. And again, I certainly think that they need to really seriously consider changing the names. And I understand when you talk about the Masters, I've never had the opportunity, the privilege to go and cover the Masters or even take it in as a spectator. Yeah. But my understanding is the course, the facilities, it's like immaculate. Mm-hmm. I mean, the course, the one reason it's called the Masters is the simple fact that playing this course, and I don't know if you're a golfer or anything like that, Marvelous, and I've played some pretty decent courses in my day, but
yeah.
I understand the course, the Masters.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the most difficult court, the most difficult courses that these golfers play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact it's really hilly. There's up and down. There's, I mean, the slopes, everything factored into this course makes it so competitive.
Right. But here's what you want to know. How many black members are there?
Now?
Yeah. 9.
Okay.
Of Augusta.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know.
Well, how many women? Do you have a number for women?
I'll get you that, but Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are members.
Well, that's part of the problem. But the fact that you have this major event and you're calling it the Masters,
yeah,
and you excluded blacks and minorities and women from this elitist club for years,
okay,
it's a slap in the face and an insult. Uh-huh. In my opinion,
sure.
to sports fans, to sports journalists, to sports, the average American, it is an insult.
Right.
Because when you hear the name Masters, and our good friend Gary Myers, a longtime radio iconic figure here in the great city of Chicago, many, many years, mm-hmm. we've been on the airwaves in Chicago. We had him on a few weeks back, and that was one thing that he said as well, that the name, the Masters, should be changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it.
Well, you got Condoleezza Rice joined, and so they have at least 6.
Well, no, I don't. She was only there, I think, temporarily. She still is? Well, she might be a member, but she was on the board.
March 30th is what I got. It says they got the secretary, business executive Darla Moore.
Yeah.
This is 2 weeks ago.
Right, and we remember that controversy that took place a few years back, and, you know, it was forced that they had to address equality and, you know, equal opportunity as far as the elitist status that the Masters held for so many, many years. And, of course, Condoleezza Rice was added to it and became a member and helped implement and institute some changes down there. But there's a definitely a long, long, long way to go and a long road. And, you know, for me, honestly, I did not watch. I probably watched maybe 20 minutes of the Masters this weekend.
Well, the funny thing is, it just ended in November.
Yeah.
Because they postponed it last year.
Exactly. But I only probably watched maybe 20 minutes of the Masters, and that was part of my boycott of it, for the simple fact, one, that it's still called the Masters, and secondly, the great Tiger Woods
wasn't there. Right.
And, you know, again, it appears to be somewhat of an insult and a slap in the face to many minorities around the country and around the world, for the simple fact. And it is an elitist state, club. And in this day and age, especially after this year that we've come off of, I think they certainly have to make some address some issues and some concerns regarding that. And I don't know what the name would be changed, but there are a lot of traditionalists out there, Marvelous, that they believe, hey, leave it alone. Yeah. Stop it.
They could call it the Augusta National Championship or something.
There you go. Yeah, right. There you go. Marvelous.
Yeah.
Let's write it in.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's write it in and let everyone in. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to let you in. Our number here at WCPT 820 AM, 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. If you have any comments regarding the Cub game, they were 7-1 losers to the Pittsburgh Pirates in PNC Park earlier this afternoon, and things, it appear, they're just going to continue to spiral out of control, and I say that for the simple fact they got to take on a Milwaukee Brewer baseball team who's pitching lights out.
But tell me the name of the park they're going to play in Milwaukee. It's not Miller Park. How about that for trivia?
It's County Stadium. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Miller apparently sold the rights over to American Fields. It's now got a new name. I'm serious. I was surprised when I saw they're not playing Miller Park tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the interesting direction. That's the trend, I think, that a lot of what's happening in the world of sports. Because as you well know, the Michigan State Spartans changed their name to MSU Spartans Rocket Mortgage.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
The actual team?
I believe that it's not going to be called Michigan State Spartans anymore. Really? Google it. Look it up.
I
think it was announced after they were eliminated by UCLA in that play-in game.
I know the arenas all have that, but I didn't know. But the Cubs got five hits today. I mean, that's pretty good.
the Cubs got five hits?
Yeah.
That's pretty good?
No.
Do you know how many hits the Pittsburgh Pirates got in this game? They got 14 hits. 14. So five hits isn't pretty good.
No, but, well, I mean, Trevor Williams gave up 10 hits in a third inning.
Yeah, the Cubs are ridiculous. They're terrible. And here's the thing. I've heard Ian Happ is batting 160. Rizzo is batting a buck 33. Jock Peterson, who hit his home run at Wrigley last week, he's batting 138.
Well, that was like last year.
Jason Hayward is batting 172. Sogard, I love the guy. He's got the glasses on. He's got the pants and leg hubs. He's got the socks and everything. He's batting a meek 143. This ball team is pathetic. They're terrible. They're embarrassing. You can't beat the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can't beat the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Cub fans have the nerve. They have the nerve to go out to Wrigley Field, the friendly confines, which is a beautiful place. We love it. There's no question about it. But you have the nerve to boo. You have a nerve to boo. Boo. The great mayor, Lori Lightfoot, and
Pritzker.
Was Pritzker out there?
I don't know. I mean,
no, he wasn't out there.
Pritzker was booed at the
Sox game. And I certainly get it. But you can't. Wait a minute. You need to boo your team before you start booing what's going on with the mayor and everything that's happening in this great city of Chicago. Yeah. You have to boo this team. And let me ask this question.
Okay.
Help me out here, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the deal. I've heard Sox fans. It's only been, a couple weeks that we've got this season underway. And the Sox fans, they've been doing pretty well. They had a great outing to open up the season at home, the home opener, albeit there was a rain delay, but it was a great outing.
Yeah.
Lance Lynn pitched his tail off.
Oh, he did.
That was fantastic.
I couldn't believe it. He went the whole way.
Yeah, he certainly did, and God bless Tony La Russa for allowing him to do that. But here's the question. I've heard Sox fans go, hey, you know what? And we'll get a chance to talk to Paul Shavari at the bottom of the hour about White Sox baseball, but I heard Sox fans say, hey, Tony La Russa is a guy. Yeah. He's falling asleep. they were out in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Late game. I was falling asleep, so of course he's falling asleep. He's, 70-something years of age? Mm-hmm. They say, hey, do you think he's going to make it the rest of the season? I go, come on now. Wait a minute. The guy's going to pace himself. He's going to be able to do it. Well, wait a minute. Hang on here. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask the question.
He's got a pacemaker, you said?
Take it easy. He's 76 years old. Okay. Thanks, Devin Tingle, our illustrious producer. Take it easy now. Somebody say, hey, he's going to be sipping the sauce. What he's going to be doing? I don't know what the guy's going to be doing, but I think he can do a better job than what we had before a year ago, all right? I think he can do a better job than that. But I need to ask Cub fans this. Grandpa, the other grandpa on the north side, David Ross, the guy that everybody says, hey, he's great. He's great in the clubhouse. The team love him. He's going to be able to kick him in the butt when it's time to kick him in the butt. When is he going to kick him in the butt? When is he going to kick this team in the butt? Because they've got a great, let me tell you something.
Maybe he needs to activate himself.
Listen, he needs to do something because they, okay, Ian Happ. I think Ian Happ is a hell of a baseball player. Jose Contreras. And we have to say courtesy, thank you for those highlights, Devin. Marquee Sports. That double play ball, we'll get a chance to talk about that. But Jose Contreras, he's a pretty decent baseball player. Yeah. Anthony...
Sure,
yeah, I say Jose Contreras. I mean, Wilson Contreras. Thank you so very much. Wilson Contreras. You got Anthony Rizzo.
It didn't sound like Shambi. Was that the Pirates team that we got? I mean,
you got Chris Bryant. You got Jock Peterson. You got Javi Baez. You got Jason Hayward. Yeah. Sogard. I like Sogard. I like Matt Duffy. I do. You got David Bodie. I understand, but let me tell you something.
You got Mariznick. He's batting 300.
I love Mariznick. Okay. He's out in center field. I'm like, say, what's going on? The guy's like 6'4", 220 pounds.
He's 3 for 10.
Come on. Wait a minute. Hang on here. Grandpa David Ross, Cub fans, are you guys giving him a pass or something because he's grandpa? Hang on here. Hang on here. Ladies and gentlemen, this Cub team suck. They suck. They're terrible. And I haven't heard any stinking thing about the Cub fans and David Ross and say, hey, you know what? Let's shake this thing up. Yeah, everybody wants to point the finger at the players, and I get it. You certainly should point the finger at the – but let me tell you something. Did you guys see the Blackhawk game last night?
Yeah, I mean, some of it. Huh. They were behind 2-0 right away.
and you saw what head coach Dan Colleton. You heard what he did. Mm-hmm. He pulled the team over and go, hey, wait a minute, what the hell are you guys doing? Yeah. He got in their asses, and what did the Blackhawks do? They went out there and they started playing. Mm-hmm. The same thing needs to happen on the north side with David Ross and this Cubs baseball team. You guys aren't going to the World Series. Yeah, I don't even think you're going to make the playoffs, to be honest with you. But the point of the matter is, play hard, effective baseball. Javi Baez, stop it. Stop swinging at. Yeah, you got a home run. I get it. You got a home run.
242.
Yeah. Javi. Stay in your own lane.
15 strikeouts.
That thing between your ears, you call your head, that carries your brain. Javi, take it easy. Stop swinging at everything. Stop it.
That's when he first started, he was like that.
Exactly. And the reason being, I talked to my good friend Jesse Rogers earlier this week, and I asked him, I said, hey, Jesse. He goes, yeah, Riles. I go, Jesse, is Javi pressing? He shook his head and said yes. Yes.
Because of the money?
Because of the money. It's he's pressing. And yeah, he is.
He's going to get the money, even if no matter what he does.
He thinks he's the best shortstop in the game.
Yeah.
He thinks he's the best shortstop in the game.
Yeah.
And it's affecting his play at the plate.
Right. I mean, Contreras has 11 strikeouts, by the way, to Javi's 15. So
now, as far as that double play was concerned, what was your thought on that? Because
I mean,
hey, Devin.
I think that back in the day when I played.
Yeah.
You were supposed to make difficult for the guy to do the relay. You know, you're supposed to upend him. You're supposed to knock him over. But now you're out if you touch him.
Well, the rule changed, I believe, in 2015 because too many players were getting hurt on a collision. So they ended up changing the rule, and you have to make an attempt.
Yeah.
Go for the bag.
Right, there'll be no Pete Rose and Fossey in the All-Star
Not
game.
At all. Not at all. And I understand that because, again, we talk about the increase in salaries and how much money is being spent on these players, and you don't want them injured on plays like this. It's going to keep them out for X amount of weeks, months, or maybe in their career. So I understand the direction and the trend as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, where they're going with this. Jose Contreras, it was a baseball move, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think the mistake that Jose Contreras made, why do I keep saying Jose Contreras? Wilson Contreras. Why do I keep saying Jose Contreras? I don't know. But Wilson Contreras, I think the problem that he had, the mistake that he made was the fact that he did not reach for the bag when he slid.
Yeah.
He went after the second baseman. He did not extend his arm, his left arm out to cradle the bag at all. And the umpires went and took a look at it.
Yeah.
And they said, okay. He didn't make an attempt. He broke the rule.
You're out.
And you're out. That's it. But before we go there, I was about to say Jose Contreras again. I don't know why I'm saying Jose Contreras, but Wilson Contreras, when the pitch that he took in the back, marvelous.
Yes.
I want it, honestly. And it's the third time this guy's been hit. He's been hit 14 times last year. Yeah. 17, he leads the majors with getting hit by a pitch. But the pitch that he took in the back, I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you heard it. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I know I heard it. I think it was a 94-mile mm-hmm. pitch that got away. It hit him in the back. I swear to you.
Right.
I wanted to cry for the guy. It hurts. It hurt me, and I'm just sitting there watching.
You know, I think it's because you're a White Sox guy. Jose pitched for the White Sox. So.
I know. I keep saying Jose Contreras, but I mean Wilson Contreras. But I swear to you, I wanted to cry for Wilson Contreras after he got hit because that thing hurt, man. Mm-hmm. That thing hurt, and he carried the bat nearly all the way down the first baseline mm-hmm. to the bag. Right. The catcher followed him to make sure he wouldn't charge him out. The bat boy had to come out to retrieve the bat. And Jose Wilson Contreras was about to pound the turf with it. He looked up, saw the bat boy, and handed him the bat. But he is a powder keg waiting to explode. If he gets hit again, all hell's going to break loose. Because the guy's a loose cannon in the first place. He's a loose cannon in the first place.
I mean, he said, I don't think I did anything wrong there. I just slid within reach of the base. They probably called me out because I didn't touch the base. But for me, I didn't touch the guy. That's what he said.
Yeah, I heard what he said, but okay. I know what I saw. He went out of the base path to go after. That's what he did.
I always like to, you know, I like to, you know, have everybody be able to defend themselves. That's all I'm saying.
Well, hey, come on now. A bank robber would defend himself. I didn't steal the money. It just happened to be in the bag that I picked up and walked away with. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? No, he's supposed to take that position and say, hey, you know what? I didn't know. But the rules have changed. You cannot go after a second baseman or a shortstop. Mm-hmm. You simply can't do it. And one reason, and we'll get a chance to talk more about the White Sox, but almost the same thing, a double play ball late in the game. And that's another controversial situation that took place as far as the Southsiders are concerned. But Jose Abreu was on second base, and Moncada hit a ground ball, routine double play. Jose Abreu, he did not go out of the base path.
No.
He went, slid, direction, stage straight, going to the bag. Mm-hmm. And it was a routine double play. That's how the game is played now. Unfortunately, that's how the game is played. And I don't know if it was... It's how we grew up, of course, playing and watching. But I don't necessarily know if that was the right thing to do mm-hmm. or the correct thing to do or the proper thing to do because... Someone, and that was the object of the game.
I know,
to get the player out to hurt him.
I know. I mean, the rule itself. I mean, I understand why they don't want people to get injured, but I mean, for example, the other thing is with the runner starting on second base in the 10th inning. Now I get it. Last year,
I hate that,
but this year it's kind of like I feel like I'm watching my sixth grade softball game again. You know,
I hate it. And here's the deal: the White Sox game was rained out. Postponed, rained out yesterday, and so they're going to play a doubleheader on May 14th.
Okay,
and of course, the new rules: 7 innings each.
Right. I got it last year. I don't get it this year. You know.
Well, you're going to get it this year.
I mean,
you're certainly going to get it. Probably more than you want.
I mean, and that's like in high school, you played the 7-inning doubleheader, so it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is crazy, but it's the era that we're living in. And here's the thing, what really is going to screw things up, in my opinion, when you talk about the changes to the game, is how is this going to affect the records?
Yeah.
How is this going to affect, you know, numbers and status? And it can even come down to potentially Hall of Fame voting decisions, so to speak, based on the fact that you're changing it to a degree that, because when you put a runner on second base, the pitcher isn't charged. It's not an earned run. Mm-hmm. And Paul Chavarri is joining us on the Rewind Sports 60. He's the Baseball Weekly Journal podcast host joining us on the Rewind Sports 60. Paul, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so very much. It's debuting on the Rewind Sports 60 here, brother. It's great to have you. Looking forward to hearing all your insight and your intellect as far as baseball is concerned, in particular Chicago White Sox baseball. But correct me if you can. When you go into extra frames, and of course the White Sox lost in extra frames over at the Guaranteed Rate earlier this afternoon, when the runner is on second, that runner scores.
It's an unearned run.
It's an unearned run, and it's called an error because they're on second, but there's no No, it's charged with an error.
Yeah, I never actually knew how they score that officially.
Yeah.
But
I don't even know how to put it on my scorecard. Yeah. I put it on the guy at second base out of nowhere. You know.
Yeah,
my
address the reasons why, though, in terms of the seven innings or the shortened extra innings. We understand it last year with the pandemic. Yeah. This year things are kind of loosening up where there's not as many infections as we've seen. But a lot of it is ramping up the pitchers again to the innings that they're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to save these pitchers. Because what, like Lance Lynn led all the pitchers last year with what, like 80 or 90 innings pitched or something like that?
I mean, he threw 110 pitches in his first outing. I've never even heard of that.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you're certainly onto that, but I also think it's a way to speed up the game because the fans' interests are waning, right? And they're finding ways, supposedly, to try to speed up the game.
I don't know if the fans' interests are waning. I think Major League Baseball is trying to appeal to a demographic that is turned off by the game, and if you move it quicker.
But that's one reason why.
Because there's comparisons where why is the NFL so popular when Major League Baseball isn't, when they're about the same amount of time in total, and there's actually more action on average in a baseball game versus a football game.
It certainly is, but the point of the matter is the fact that baseball is a non-contact sport. Mm-hmm. Football is a contact sport. Football is a violent sport, and we live in a society where we gravitate toward violence. So that's why, and of course, the betting, obviously, right?
I can understand in the ADHD world why football is more popular than baseball.
And football, I mean, there was more chance for infection with saliva and fluids being
but just in general when you put the pandemic aside, baseball has found that fans are losing more interest in sitting in front of their television set and watching a game for three and a half hours when they could be out, especially during the summer, right? Football is in the fall. It's cold outside, it gets darker, so, and of course, again, it's violent and there's betting, so there's more attraction, more interest. As far as baseball is concerned, most fans aren't going to be sitting in front of their television for 3.5 hours or whatever the case may be when it's 80 degrees outside and sunny on a Saturday afternoon. If they're not at the ball game, they're not sitting around watching this all day.
Well, and then the value of one game in baseball, too. It's one out of 162.
I was talking about that. I was talking about last year with the 60-game season. It seemed like the games meant more in a way.
How quickly things turned around, too, with that shortened season. I think a lot of this, though, the pandemic was almost a great thing to happen to baseball in the sense that they wanted to experiment with some of these ideas anyway. Mm-hmm. And with that collective bargaining agreement coming at the end of this season, which is already going to be contentious between the union and the league, I think that they want to start incorporating some of this stuff. So I think, going forward, we're going to see the National League adopt the designated hitter.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do it this year.
Me too, actually.
Right. Well, I mean, again, you're talking about numbers and you're talking about, contracts. And with the money that's being dished out left and right, you want to make sure you're getting the bang for your buck, so to speak. So all of that stuff is going to pan out. But I truly believe there are a lot of traditionalists out there as well who don't want to see a DH in both leagues.
Yeah. I don't. But at the same time, I always thought that it would ruin the game for me. And I almost didn't even notice it last year. But I love, like a 1-0 National League game where the pitcher, the winning pitcher, also contributed the RBI. It's rare, but it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it really is. And this game that we were watching earlier today, the White Sox game over at the Rate Kansas City, I thought that was a pretty, because I'm going back and forth on the Cub games when the Cubs just blew that thing for the second straight night, of course. I mean, I want to talk about what happened last night.
Losing to like a quadruple A Pittsburgh Pirates team, essentially.
It's unbelievable. But the fact of the matter is, when I look up and it's a 1-1 ball game on the south side in the fifth inning, I believe it was, that's the type of game you say, you know what, my interest is there. Because if you're a baseball fan, if you're a baseball purist, you want to see that type of game because you know that both teams are playing, for the most part, effective baseball, and it's a chess match. It's now down to a chess match.
Well, and the managers to La Russa and Matheny, their relationship, too.
And Kansas City pretty much a 4A team, too.
Well, I mean, I think people aren't really giving them credit. Yeah. I think they have a good core with Whit Merrifield and Hunter Dozier, bringing in Andrew Benintendi. Though they seem like they're in a rebuild, I think they're taking a big step forward this year. I wouldn't expect them to make the playoffs, but I had them as my American League dark horse that I think people aren't watching this year.
Paul Shivari joining us, the Baseball Weekly Journal podcast host.
joining us on the Rewind Sports 60. Our number here is 773-763-9278. Ladies and gentlemen, 773-763-WCPT. Paul, let's take a phone call real quick.
Let's
we got
it.
Tom calling from Chicago. Tom, what part of Chicago are you calling from?
Northwest Side, Belmont Heights.
My man, welcome to the Rewind. How are you? What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say I've been very frustrated with the White Sox. I've been White Sox fan since the first my stepfather had me sitting in front of our television, round television, 1951, Manny Minosa hit the home run the first time he was up. That's how long I've been a Sox fan.
Wow.
Anyway, and the 59 and all that stuff, I was involved in all of it. But what I wanted to say, I'm very upset with Mr. Hahn, the moves he's made, especially by not re-signing James McCann. He's got a nightmare, other than Mercedes, which he's not going to really catch. But for the White Sox, they didn't have to sign Grandal. That was a big mistake. $40 million McCann signed with the Mets. They're so happy with him. He hasn't performed that well yet. But Grandal, he's been a real disappointment. And I was just saying, what do you think of that move as well as getting rid of Colin May? I thought that was a mistake. I think Hendricks is a big mistake. He's way overrated.
Really?
The acquisition of Adam Eaton, although he performed very well today, excellent. I just think that was, it was unnecessary. A good deal we got rid of Mazzara. He was a big mistake. But also the fact that we have gotten rid of a lot of people that I think are going to come back and they're going to really perform well. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? Before we let you go, and we appreciate the phone call, Tom, everything that you just stated, it's questionable and it's opinionated, and that's why we want to hear it, and that's why
I don't like any of the moves as far as all the changes, not one.
But the moves that White Sox made.
Lance Lynn.
Do you believe the White Sox are
Dane Dunning 10 to 15 years, and we got Lance Lynn for maybe one.
But it could be a World Series.
Team control for, I think, two seasons at least. And I don't think you were going to get that sort of output from Dunning as a number three or number four
exactly.
That Lynn's giving you right now. And then Lynn almost moved up to like a number two this week with the way Keuchel's struggling and the way he's performing. Lynn has been one of the most effective pitchers of the last two seasons. So I love that move. But at the same time, I'm with you, Tom, that you were really looking forward to Dane Dunning and the future of this club and some of that young talent that they were building, this core. And you thought that Dunning might be a part of it, and now that he's not, that's disappointing.
But did you really think he would be a part of it?
Someone was expendable. I was surprised that it was Dunning out of all of them. But at the same time, I loved that move, the Lynn move. But let's break down some of the other stuff that Tom was talking about, though. The
Tom,
McCann,
thank you, man. We appreciate your call. Keep listening.
McCann versus Grandal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. At the time, McCann's coming off his really what looked like a flukish all-star year in 2018. It was hard to say if he was going to be the same catcher in 2019. This is 2019 going into 2020.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Before the pandemic. When Grandal was a free agent, they were really banking on some of the slugging that he can do. He's not a high batting average guy, but he's a guy that can hit the ball out, 20 home runs, I think, a season, and the way he's great at pitch framing. And I think they were really banking on Grandal's defensive abilities, which sometimes when you see him, though, he's letting balls get by him. He's making defensive mistakes. So I do understand where Tom's coming from, but at the same time, that's a hard move. I think all of the analytics tell you that Grandal's the guy that you go with, not McCann, and there's no way you can carry both guys. There's just no point in carrying two starting catchers on your team. So I can get that move. That's a debatable one. We can debate that until the cows come home.
Right. I just thought that James McCann, when the White Sox, made the move and let him go, I question that because the fact that he had a relationship in the clubhouse and the fact that defensively, He was owning his, and he could command control of a game, and pitchers liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Certain pitchers liked them.
I think Giolito and McCann had a great relationship,
right? And offensively,
he was productive. I was surprised by the move, but I wasn't shocked by the move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I certainly understand what Tom is saying, that he didn't necessarily like the move. Now, Grandal, I think he has some injuries during spring training, maybe some knee injuries or whatever that could still be lingering as far as what we know. But again, I still say it's early. It's still early, and I think that Tony La Russa, here's the thing, what people don't see, you know, between the lines from the first inning through the ninth inning or whatever the case may be, is there's a lot of work taking place in that clubhouse. Now, Tony La Russa has, quote, end quote, the respect of the players because of his Hall of Fame career. But it's a matter of getting in there, day-to-day operations, learning how your players are, your players learning how the manager operates, and getting on the same page, meshing, and letting that foundation build to get to that winning attitude the Sox fans are craving and waiting for.
Well, and I think that's what's been happening this week, like on Wednesday with that disastrous, sixth inning, where, you know, Keuchel couldn't even make it out of the inning. I think, now, La Russa owned up to it, and I do like that he stepped up and said that he made a mistake.
That was professional.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pro.
Do you really think Tony La Russa was sleeping during that inning?
No.
I don't think so either. And I think it was a stress test on Keuchel to see, you know, let's just throw him out there. I mean, what, 90 pitches is not too much to ask for at the start of the season. Something might be up with Keuchel. I know he's had back issues in the past. He hasn't looked great in his two starts so far this season. I think that was La Russa seeing what he's got right now with him. And I think to throw Matt Foster out there in the situation that he did wasn't fair to Foster. But at the same time, look at the lineup that day, though. That's the most typical travel day lineup that you're ever going to see, trying to bail out of Seattle, getting ready for the home opener.
Right.
You already took the first two in the series. So, yeah, it's disappointing because you've dropped winnable games so far this season. But we're only, 4 or 5% of the way into the season, and we're still establishing bullpen roles. As for the bullpen, though, aside from what Crochet and Kopech,
he was terrible today.
Crochet.
Okay, Kopech was lights out.
Well, I mean, he also, I think, first time he was ever pitched in an inning where the runner starts on second base,
he was terrible. Yeah. Anyway, no, there's no excuse. He was terrible.
Sure, but he's been one of the lone bright spots so far. I mean, one save and 5 save opportunities, 4 blown saves to start the season as a bullpen.
Right.
4.99 ERA, but they are third in. As a bullpen, third in strikeouts per 9 innings with 11.74. That's really impressive.
Right.
Sixth in strikeout to walk ratio with 3.08. Small sample size, but a little better than what we would think. Where it's really the problem for the White Sox right now, look at the runners in scoring position today. One for 15 today. 12 left on base.
Yeah.
In the last 4 games, 222 with runners in scoring position. Out of their, how many games have they played? 8 games?
Mm-hmm.
6 of them, they've left 9 or more runners on base.
Right.
I think that's the problem right now is the offense, put up a couple crooked numbers, but I don't think we're totally seeing that offense come to life.
No, we haven't. We certainly haven't. Paul Shavarvi from Baseball Weekly Journal, his podcast, he's the host, joining us on the Rewind Sports 60, yours truly, Jerry Riles, along with the marvelous one, Dan Marver.
I think they're 4-5 now, aren't they, the Sox?
I believe so, today was the ninth game,
So this is why Tony La Russa is the Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame, manager, in my opinion. And a lot of Sox fans, believe me, I think you got to talk them off the ledge. Because, again, in the clubhouse, before the game, after the game, these guys are learning. And they're building, they're taking a culture from point A to point B. Because what did Dallas Keuchel say last year about the club? Was it Keuchel last year was he the one that called out the clubhouse and say, you guys aren't coming every day serious and
you're right,
focused to try to play this game because he's used to winning?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what these other players, and hence, that's one reason why you signed Jose Abreu, because he's the leader of the clubhouse. Those younger kids, they respect him. Jerry Reinsdorf understands that. The culture, what we're seeing now, is being formed and shaped as far as the White Sox are concerned. And the important thing, in my opinion, what Tony La Russa is doing, he's trying to get a hold on that pitching staff and tell them, you guys, because at the end of the day, to win that championship, you need pitching and defense.
Absolutely.
And I think one reason he let Lance Lynn go out there and pitch a complete game shutout, because he wanted to show, he wanted to give that guy confidence.
Mm-hmm.
What, 111 pitches on opening day?
Which is a lot to ask for a first start, but Lynn's been very effective.
And
in the
he
last
said,
few
"Hey,
years.
Listen, I want you to, I want to see what you got. If you have the stuff." And I was at the game. We were in the press box, and we were wondering, you know, is he going to let this guy go out there for the ninth inning? And he certainly let him do that.
And I think Lynn said he was, I mean, most of the guys in
yeah,
situations like that,
they're
like,
say,
I'm good to go. And,
yeah.
and he was rolling. I mean, yeah. he looked so good in that game.
But Tony La Russa is trying to plant the seed of a winning culture in these players' mind to let them know, hey, listen, you have the stuff. They believe Dylan Cease, who pitched pretty decent today.
Moments, yeah.
He pitched pretty decent today. They believe, Tony La Russa believes this pitching staff is capable of winning. And he wants them to believe that and understand that. And he's going to put them in compromising situations to see how they handle themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you said Foster, when he made the mistake and he said, hey, you know what? That was on me.
Yeah.
He took ownership because he was trying to.
I think it was more intentional than he's letting on.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I think people look at that and say, oh, he's getting old, he's falling asleep. I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's one of 23 people that's ever walked this earth to be dubbed a Hall of Fame manager.
Marvelous. What do you think?
What do I think?
What do you think, Marvelous?
About La Russa? I mean, I think it's going to turn out to be okay. I mean, at first there was can he relate to the players and this and the other thing, but he can have his coaches do that if there's an issue, you know. But I think that his gravitas is going to carry, you know, be very important. A lot of respect, and he's going to be able to guide this team in the better than Ricky, I think.
Well, there's no question about it. Now, real quick, Paul, and we appreciate you joining us, debuting on the Rewind Sports 60. You'll be with us all. We're going to bring you on all throughout the course of the summer because we definitely want to hear your insight as far as baseball is concerned. Let's go to the north side real quick. Your thoughts on what the hell is going on with the Cubbies. I think David Ross, I think the fans need to hold him, his keister to the fire a little bit because you don't get a pass. You don't get a pass, and I don't want to hear about the 60-game, you know, shortened season last year regarding the pandemic. This is the move that the Cubs made because they felt it was a transition. There were a lot of valuable managers on the market looking for a gig. They went with David Ross because they felt that he knew the culture, he knew the clubhouse, the players liked him, they respected him. He could be a hard ass and put a foot up their ass if he needed to and get the results they're looking for. This team looks to be in shambles as far as from what I've been able to see.
Well, I mean, they're the worst hitting team right now in Major League Baseball. And how is that possible? It's not even like they're riddled with injuries. You still have the sluggers and Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and Happ and Contreras. You bring in Jock Peterson, who can hit the long ball. And we saw him crush one the other day and get his waffle maker.
Oh, I loved it.
But, you know, where is, you know, I would assume that just like, you know, baseball, the regression to the mean or whatever, in this case, the progression to the mean, I think eventually they're going to start hitting. The really concerning part is that this is happening against Pittsburgh, who is coming off, on paper, the worst team in baseball. They are not trying. They are rebuilding. They are trying to shift into a new direction.
They had lost 6 games in a row coming into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And yet the Cubs, what, yesterday and today, struggle against them. Putting up
They gave up 10 runs in the second inning, 7 mm-hmm. yesterday and 3 in it. I know I'm on Twitter, and I got people, they're saying, hey, you know what? After they scored 7 runs, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the people are like, they're bailing out. I'm out of here. I'll see you later. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. But I'm wondering how much with Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, the fact that they weren't able to work out long-term deals is lingering into the season. And I know they don't want to sign contract extensions during the season, but at the same time, the Cubs are going to face a dilemma at some point toward the trade deadline with all three of these guys becoming free agents at the end of the year. You can't let all three of them walk and then lose them in the season. So at some point, especially if they're struggling like this and they're not in contention, all three or maybe one of those three are going to go.
But we'll see, Jed.
Go ahead. You think, though, Paul, that they'd want to enhance their value by performing better, though? You know?
I mean, they're still going to have value. I mean,
I know.
Anyone's going to want Chris Bryant at the very least. I mean, as for Baez, I mean, I need to see his bat wake up. I mean, we know what he can do defensively.
Right.
And I'm surprised with Rizzo and how much he means to this city that they wouldn't just give him some sort of deal. I don't think he's trying to command a deal that's comparable to what Fernando Tatis and Francisco Lindor are looking for. And I don't think Baez is ever going to get anywhere near that as well. But it's just, and I know that they don't have to give these guys, feel good contracts to legacy contracts or anything like that. But you would think that they'd want to build the future of this team around Anthony Rizzo. But he's already taken a hometown discount. So I think the team has already run out of favors from these guys, and they want to be paid.
How does the salary cap work, too? I mean, in baseball, is that
there's no cap. There's no cap. Okay. Yeah.
So here's the problem, though. Anthony Rizzo said, hey, you know what? I'm not talking about this anymore. Jed Hoyer came back, a few days later, a week later, and said, you know what? I don't worry about it because we're going to take care of Anthony Rizzo.
Well, he's got to own up to that. I mean, he followed him Boston to San Diego to Chicago.
Yeah. So he's got to own up to that. That means Jed Hoyer. He's got to own up to that because he's on record to say, hey, I'm not worried about the signing Anthony Rizzo. We're going to take care of him. That's a done deal. Javi Baez, his problem is he's pressing. He's pressing, and he's hurting his market value more so than anything because, as you know, his numbers from, 18, 19, 20, he's admitted it on record that he's an up-and-down player. He's not consistent 162 games. Now, most players aren't consistent 162 players, but when you got a guy that the strikeouts are incredible for this guy
because he lacks
discipline at the plate.
He swings out of his shoes.
Yeah, and so it's going to affect him on his defensive side as far as, in my opinion, he's hurting his market value more by thinking so much about everything else that's going on and not focusing on what he can control and handle. That's going to affect him. And as far as Chris Bryant is concerned, congratulations to him.
I'm willing to say that Bryant's going
to
be gone at the trade deadline.
He's
Or the New York Mets are probably going to be the likely
when you watch them, you can tell that he is not happy here. And he was on the record earlier to say, I'm not having fun playing this game anymore. He's more, and congratulations to him and his beautiful bride, but their beautiful child. He's happier and more humble with the newborn and enjoying everything that's going on with that more so than with baseball.
Yeah.
And I think it's affecting his consistent overall play on the field and at the plate.
This has been the Cubs, though, since about 2019, though. When was this window going to close?
And
you kind of saw they had some late magic in 2019, but eventually just lost the division to the Cardinals. 2020, it was such a shortened season that they were able to win that sprint. But, of course, they run into the Marlins, and they had really no business getting swept by the Marlins in that series, despite the fact the Marlins had really good pitching. But I think you're finally seeing it run out this year, and I think it's the off-the-field stuff that's affecting the on-the-field stuff. And I really think that the Cubs fans got cheated out of this from 2015 to now. I think they got the World Series out of it. But this was a team that was supposed to be a dynasty.
So here's that was a pipe dream, in my opinion. That was a pipe dream, and I said this even during the rebuild in 2015. We weren't here on WCPT, but I said this on the Rewind Sports 60. I said the Cubs and what they're doing here, building this dynasty team, they are going to be the 20,000, whatever. Atlanta Braves.
Some of the moves they made after that.
And they didn't even measure up to the Atlanta Braves back in the 90s when they were winning divisions and winning one championship. The Cubs won their championship, but that's all she wrote.
That's because they had Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddox the whole time.
But it was a pipe dream, to be honest with you, from the way I looked at it, that this Cubs team was built to be dynasty World Series champions.
Well, there's a lot of win-now-reload type of moves, though. I mean, you lost Jorge Soler, who, at one point was
doing an excellent job.
Yeah, you lost Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease.
That was a stupid move.
Jose Quintana.
That was a very dumb move.
Rick
Hahn, congratulations for the move that you made. That was a brilliant move, and the Cubs fell for it.
I mean, sure, it helped the Cubs that year because, they lost to the Dodgers in the 2017 NLCS, and sure, Quintana could have helped them, but there's been a lot of win-now-reload type of moves with the Cubs where they weren't sustaining themselves.
Right, exactly.
Now that's where they're in. But they still have a talented roster, and I just don't understand why they're not getting production out of that team.
And Bryant goes, they still have Bodie and Horner, to cover the infield spot, so they'd survive that.
Mm-hmm. But I still love Mariznick out there. Jake Mariznick, number six? The guy is 6'4", 220 pounds or 202 pounds. I love the guy. Yeah, I love the guy.
he also had sort of a Pete Rose moment. I don't remember if you remember that. He bowled over LaCroix when he was with Houston.
Yeah.
And LaCroix, and hasn't been the same catcher since.
Yeah. The Sox let him go, didn't they, LaCroix?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they certainly did.
He was Washington, opening day catcher, because all their other catchers had COVID.
Yep.
and I'm wondering about Schwarber and Lester. They haven't been on the roster yet either.
Yeah.
Paul, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye, my good friend?
I'm bummed that Fernando Tatis is going to be out for a while.
Oh, yeah.
He was an exciting player, but it's been an exciting season so far. I'm really looking forward to the rest of it.
Dexter Fowler tore his ACL, so he's out as well. So, you know what? Wow. Hey, it's baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rewind Sports 60, the fastest hour in sports conversation. Thank you to our guest, Paul Shavari. He will, again, be joining us, Baseball Weekly Journal podcast. He is the host of the show. And, of course, the Marvelous One. What's your closing thoughts, man?
That was fast.
Chase the Masters, Marvelous.
That was fast.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can check us out on YouTube, Facebook. You can check us out on the RewindSports60.com. Of course, you can go to WCPT820.com. And on Wednesdays in the northern suburbs, ladies and gentlemen, we're on Comcast Access at 7 o'clock p.m., Channel 17, Channel 19, Channel 35. This has been another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. Want to thank our illustrious producer, outstanding Devin Tango, kicking butt and taking names, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Ryle signing off. Guys, have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the week, and we'll see you next week, right here, WCPT 820 AM, here in Chicago. Take care, everybody.
The preceding program, the Rewind Sports 60, is sponsored by Jerry Ryles and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.